This Sunday, more than a million spectators will turn out for the annual National Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City. This year, the celebration of culture and history will take on profound meaning in the wake of Hurricane Maria, which devastated the island. Puerto Rican television journalist Julio Gabby Acevedo is this year's parade ambassador. Acevedo has been covering the crisis in Puerto Rico for NBC and Telemundo since the hurricane hit back in September of last year. WBGO's Alexandra Hill spoke with Acevedo about the ongoing crisis, the controversial death count on the island, and how Puerto Rico is preparing for yet another hurricane season.
From our San Juan Bureau, hundreds of thousands of people still living in some desperate situations.
From our San Juan Bureau this evening, the sad reality that people are still living under tarps and without power.
As the 2018 hurricane season begins, the people of Puerto Rico are still mourning the loved ones lost in last year's storms. This was Gabby Acevedo, the only local news reporter on the island there. And tonight he shows us how the survivors are honoring those victims.
Since you've been down on the ground there covering this tragedy, you've done a lot of stories on the people there that have been affected, that are still affected. What's made the biggest impact on you over this 8 months?
Those first weeks during and after the storm, what impressed me most was how people lost everything that they had worked for their lives, their homes, 50 and 60 years of people's lives just being thrown out and devastated in a matter of hours, and people having no way or no recollection of or reconnaissance of what to do next. So in that sense, it was completely confusing, and it was a lot of suffering. A lot of people just going to their knees and praying and feeling that the first essence of what it feels like to lose everything you've got, to not have any connection to your family members, to not know what's going on in other parts of the island. Just being thrown back, like I said in the beginning, 60 or 70 years. It was like a time machine because it was back to essentials. No cell phones, no internet, no water, no light. I guess having to cover the story while you were going through the emergency too with your family members and with yourself, it was survival mode. And I thought that it was going to be that way, but not for so long.
What are your thoughts on the lack of support and the lack of intervention by the federal government for this crisis that has now going on 9 months in the making?
Well, that one is an existential question in my perspective. First off, because when I see federal responders down in the ground, first responders, federal entities who are on the ground still to this day, American citizens just like us who travel from different parts of the U.S. mainland, mainly the Gulf Coast, who have gone through so many emergencies, people who went through Katrina, people from New York, from the East Coast of the United States, and from California. So basically from the whole U.S. continental mainland, there's still people on the ground here. And I have, in my perspective, as a Puerto Rican, I have to thank them. I'm very thankful for everyone who came from different parts of the world, especially the U.S., and are still here seeing this emergency as their own emergency and thinking about the future of Puerto Rico in the same terms as citizens who have been here their whole lives. So I can, in a just perspective, criticize that. Now, if what we're talking about is the government connection between the federal government and the local government, well, definitely it could have been better. I can't criticize the federal government. Puerto Rico also has to see this emergency as their own emergency and think about Puerto Rico's future, aside from depending if somebody's going to come and give me something or the welfare economy, as we call it here. We obviously are thankful and we value the historical relationship with the U.S., but that's a political issue. We're talking about a human issue here. And in that essence, everybody here is thankful for any help that they get.
Do the people of Puerto Rico feel that way?
I think that where you will find the most sense of lack of comfort with the recovery is with the housing infrastructure process, with the reconstruction of houses, with what we say individual housing reconstruction assistance. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but through our coverage, we've showcased the fact that in Puerto Rico, we have a cultural historical problem, and it's that 55% of the residences here do not possess title ownership deeds. So when you go ask the federal government for help rebuilding your home, if you don't have that essential part, which is, this is my home, I own it, and you can demonstrate, then you're probably not going to get any help, or you're going to get a little help, but not what you need.
The aftermath of Hurricane Maria left a tally of approximately 300,000 residences partially or totally destroyed around the island. Collective losses for homeowners near the billions of dollars, according to the Technical Studies Institute. But the most worrisome figure is that 55% of residences around Puerto Rico do not possess title ownership deeds, a major obstacle for those who need help.
The house tends to be the biggest asset that a poor family has. And if they lose that asset, how can they survive?
So when you see that, that's where the people feel the most, that the relationship is strained in that essence because people can't get help because of something that is a cultural, historical problem that we have seen even before in previous hurricanes in the 1990s and 80s, and we haven't resolved it. So people here not having title ownership deeds goes against what the federal government is trying to project to help people, and that's a wall that people are crashing against at this point. I guess in that essence, if you ask me, yeah, people definitely feel frustrated because they want to rebuild their homes, but they don't have a way and they don't have the requirements.
What's the feeling on the island now that everyone's worried about this new hurricane season that's beginning? Is there a sense of panic? Are people prepared?
Well, there's definitely post-traumatic stress. I'll give you that. There's definitely a stress factor because people are sensitive to what happened. It was a very bad experience for many, many, for millions of Puerto Ricans. So you got the stress that's definitely felt. And you have the other factor that most people tell us when we go in interviews on the field, we don't have enough money. We're short of money because we've been living in an emergency for 9 months. And it's a different experience for citizens here to be expending way more than what they're earning because of the emergency process. So people who haven't had electricity for the past 9 months or didn't have electricity for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months, they were spending a lot of money to survive. Now, the other part, which I mentioned here in between lines, is the power grid. I mean, we have to admit that the power grid is not going to sustain anything that's being thrown this way, not even a tropical storm. I mean, not even a period of rain. In a lot of places, the electricity just goes out. Then that has people thinking, anything comes our way, we have to worry, we have to go get gas, we have to prepare, because the emergency is going to be worse. So what does that lead to? Well, most people are already planning, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave Puerto Rico. If there's a tropical storm coming our way and it's 2 or 3 days away, I'm going to start preparing of leaving instead of staying and surviving.
The report that came out last week regarding the death count, the death toll, what are your thoughts on that? Can you verify that the death toll is more than the 64 that the government has told us?
You just touched the essence of the point. And the point is that 64, which is the number that the government could certify, which is the number that the government's infrastructure allows the government to guarantee, because the Forensics Institute, the only Forensics Institute we have in Puerto Rico based in San Juan, is the one that certified this. So no manpower, low resources, and a very fragile infrastructure to determine that it was obviously more than 64. If you go by what happened on the ground, if you go by the field coverage, you see that it had to be more than 64. So I think that conventional wisdom in Puerto Rico, including those in the government, including the governor, they know that 64 is not the number. What 64 tells us is that the Puerto Rican government and its infrastructure, it was not ready to certify and deal with an emergency of this magnitude. And it didn't have a protocol to manage this. So the number came out, and the number now has been turned into something of, obviously, an emotional element for most Puerto Ricans, because it feels like the number lacks empathy.
The Hurricane Maria death toll in Puerto Rico is thousands higher than the official count. Until this moment, the official death count from the hurricane was 64 in Puerto Rico. But now a study from Harvard found 4,645 people died in the storm. Gabby Acevedo, the only local reporter based in San Juan, spoke to a lead researcher in that study about this dramatic difference. Gabby.
Thank you to all back in New York. The post-Hurricane Maria mortality rate from September 20th until December 31st was compared to the official death rate from the same time period in 2016. Here we take a look at the official details of this fact-finding mission.
Now, the study from Harvard, in my opinion, I don't think it's 4,600. The amount of the death toll is not that high. But what 4,600 tells us is that 30% of the medical services were interrupted, as the study says, that people have been without power for more than 100 days in 80% of the cases, that water services were interrupted too, and that access to roads made towns be disconnected from society. So you put that number as a demonstration of the danger that a huge part of the population went through in this fragile state. Now, last weekend, the Puerto Rico National Demographic Registry revealed that it was around 1,400, the amount of deaths, excess deaths compared to 2016 in the period of time between September and December. Now, I think that is closer to the number. I'm really surprised that the government did not reveal this number earlier. I think it could have helped them a lot, and it could have helped Puerto Rico go through the healing process of understanding how grave the situation was and is still to this day.
You've been named ambassador of this year's Puerto Rican Day Parade in New York City. Correct? That's right, right? Ambassador?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
What do you think is going to make this year's parade so much more special than it has been in the past? I mean, it's always been a huge part of New York City culture, but now it's going to get national attention because of the crisis in Puerto Rico. What do you hope that the people that attend get from this year's parade?
Well, for the Puerto Ricans who are here in Puerto Rico, I think that those who didn't know how much those Puerto Ricans outside of the U.S. and those communities that have established themselves for the past 60 years outside of Puerto Rico, how much they care about our island. Here in Puerto Rico, we have a big problem with those that leave. We tend to resent the fact that they left, and we tend to think that Puerto Ricans who don't live in Puerto Rico don't really feel what Puerto Ricans go through because they left. But I instruct you that every Puerto Rican in the world cannot live inside the island. It's just too small. So we have coped with the fact that Puerto Ricans who leave, they have their reasons, and they were the first ones to help us. They were the first ones who actually went through the worst part of the mental emergency because they saw through the images, through the coverage, what was happening in Puerto Rico. We didn't. Those that were here, we only knew what was happening in our corner, in our space that we were going through. But those who were in the outside part of Puerto Rico and saw all the images through the coverage and the media attention, I know that they felt this emergency particularly personally, and they were the first ones to give the lifeline. They demonstrated that they do care, that they're there, and that everything that happens to us will have someone watching over us. And I think we have to thank the city of New York and the state of New York, both Mayor de Blasio and Governor Cuomo. I know they have been very active here, not only with their presence, which is important as far as political presence, but also with the boots on the ground, with New Yorkers that I have seen and I have covered through the past 9 months, that have helped in every dimension they could with Puerto Ricans, just to see that we're good, that we're fine, that Puerto Ricans are fine in spirit, and they want to celebrate and thank all of those that helped. I think that's what we're going to see this weekend in the parade, and obviously with the fact that Morovis is coincidentally the town that I was in during the deployment, Morovis is being honored, the municipality honored at this year's parade. And for me to see all those people that were with me through those emergency hours being honored there as a town because of their valiant recovery and their 200th year anniversary too, which is coincidental, I think that's going to be very special because few people in Puerto Rico have gone through what the people in Morovis have gone through to this point. 40% of the town still has no power. So they're still going through the emergency, and that's going to be very special to see them there and to see their resiliency. And it's going to be special. And New York has always been very so welcoming to Puerto Rico. It's a moment to remember the history, the bond. And it was never, never in the history of the relationship between Puerto Rico and New York, never so present as it was during the days and months after Hurricane Maria. It's a moment to celebrate that historical bond.
We appreciate everything you do. Your coverage is fantastic. Good luck with everything, and we'll be watching you.
It is my pleasure and honor. I'm here at your service.
Say it loud and there's music playing. Say it soft and it's almost like praying. It's almost like praying.
It's almost like praying.